the war, and the one, the first one went, he was in the army. He enlisted. All the time he was over there, they'd write him and they'd send him boxes of fruit and things like that. He never did get nothing. He was gassed one time. Mm-hmm. You know that gas? And the only time they ever heard from him, there's a nun, Catholic nun, wrote a letter for him. And they said that he had been gassed, but he was improving and he was out of danger. And not to worry about him. They were taking him in the best of care and he would soon be all right. He was getting to where he said it had affected his eye, but he was getting to where he could see, and he could see good now, and he said that he was, she would keep him informed and not to worry that he was doing good. And they never did get, that's the only thing they ever got from him until he was discharged and come home.
Uh-huh.
And then when he come home, he went to college. He went to, where they went there, Frankston, that was just really a high school. You see, they went to eighth grade and they went to finish high school there.
Yeah.
And then he went to four-year college and he took agriculture and he worked for the government, inspecting these fruit and things coming overseas, you know.
Yeah.
And the youngest one, he took veterinarian. He went down to Alabama and completed a course there. And he worked, the one that was took agriculture, he lived to be, he was about 84 years old when he died. And the other two was, one of them, the oldest one was 72 when he died, and the next one was 77, and then this one was 83. And the youngest one there, he was 78 or 79. He's a veterinarian, and he worked up being practically every state in the union. You know, he must have been good because he'd go around and send him around, and he'd go around and test cattle, and have people go with him and test for a bang and different thing, you know. And if they needed any vaccination, then he'd get the veterinarian around locally there to do, and he'd go around and have people to have the cattle penned up, you know, to do the work. And even here in Mississippi, in the United States, in Mississippi and up above, yeah, he had trouble with some people. Some people told him there's nobody going to pen their cattle. And when you don't pen the cattle, to dip them and to vaccinate them, when others said they weren't going to disturb the cattle. And, yeah, so he went and talked to him. He told him, he said, well, he said he was sent there by the federal government, and he said it's a program they had to do. It was for the benefit of the cattle and benefit for them if they could understand it. He tried to explain to him, and he talked with him, and he'd get somebody in the community that would stand in pretty good, and he'd talk to him, and he'd go out there and talk to these people till he convinced them, you know. Or some of them would threaten if they do that, they're going to stand there and shoot anybody who can the cattle. Of course, he said he never did get to the point where he had to do that, but he'd always get around and have somebody to help him, talk to him, and get him to convince him that they ought to do it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I know when they started dipping in this country for ticks, man, there's some people, I had a brother, he was a wood rider. He had to brand him on the shoulder, you know, and he'd ride the wood. If found something that wasn't branded, he'd pin him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he went to one fella there one time, he penning cows there, and he's penning there, and a fella come out there with a pistol. And he told him, said he didn't come there for no trouble, but he said, if you put that gun down, he said, I'll whip you before you can say scat. He said, I haven't got a gun, but he said, if I have to come back here again, he said, I'll have a gun.
Yeah.